You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 16th of June 2020 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioAlbion.com. Well, really, I'm going to have to talk about a subject today that I would really rather I didn't have to, but I do think somebody needs to say something about this. We don't just cover news, mainstream news that is of interest to nationalists, but we also cover news about nationalists. And we do have to hold ourselves to a certain standard, and we do have to praise people where they deserve praise, and we have to criticize people where they deserve to be criticized. I don't want to be accused of punching to the right here, but I do think something needs to be said about how Britain First appear to have single-handedly changed the narrative from being shock and disgust at Black Lives Matter and Antifa and the police's response to them to shock and disgust at nationalists through this protest last weekend. A protest which saw two white people stabbed, saw white people having their heads stamped upon, a bottle broken over somebody's head, horrific violence against white people, which we on the ethno-nationalist side of nationalism were warning people about going to this because we knew exactly what was going to happen. Tommy Robinson stood down and told people he wasn't going, and Paul Golding encouraged people all week to go there, to that protest, seemingly without a thought for the white people that were going to go there and end up seriously beaten. We were lucky that nobody ended up dead. Now, Paul has a security team of six security guards that follow him around. What about the stragglers? What about the people that went there to support Britain First and put themselves in danger, in great danger? The violence that actually took place was horrific. Instead of the narrative being about how terrible Antifa and Black Lives Matter are, we've got images in the newspapers of a white guy peeing next to the monument of the police officer that was killed. We've got images of people attacking the police. I mean, how does he think images of white people attacking the police looks to Middle England? Right up until last weekend, Middle England was in a state of shock and wondering just what was going on, who's the enemy here? And now Paul and the people he encouraged to go to that protest have now made themselves the enemy. And all the sensible nationalists who didn't go get lumped in with the civic nationalists who did go. And he doesn't seem to have any understanding of that. Of course, everybody is angry at what's been going on to these statues and the cenotaph, but you don't interrupt your enemy when he's making a great big mistake. It was becoming really clear to everybody that the government is not interested in white people, is not interested in serving the interests of the indigenous people, and people are obviously then going to look for a nationalist group that does support their interests, and then they see nationalists portrayed in the worst possible light they could be portrayed in, trying to start fights with the police, going to London effectively to have a fight with Black Lives Matter, And what is the upshot of this? Well, protests have all now been completely banned. And Paul seems to think this is a triumph. This was a great success for him at the weekend. Somebody had their throat slashed. And I've got a quote here from him. He wrote this after the weekend. The police in full riot gear tried to bully the patriots assembled in Parliament Square several times today, but when they did, they received a hail of hostility and righteous aggression that put them firmly back in their box over and over again. Does he think that that is likely to encourage people to join us? I mean, what does it sound like? It sounds like a street gang that hails down hostility and righteous aggression against the police. And what he's trying to do here is blame the police for the fact that they didn't arrest Black Lives Matter. Well, the police are following orders from their politically appointed chiefs. They were told not to arrest the Black Lives Matter and the Antifa rioters, and the ones that they did arrest were let off. And that should be in the news, but it's not. As I say, the news is all about far-right thugs, instead of it being about how none of these people that damaged public property the weekend before were charged with doing anything. He continues, today's domination of Whitehall and Parliament Square by patriots and veterans will have sent a powerful message to the government that any further weakness on their part will result in determined action by the British people. The message that is sent to the government by that is that nationalists are a threat to national security. And they are probably talking about designating Britain First as a terrorist organisation after that, and coming down with more censorship and more banning. And so you dominated the square for an afternoon. Who dominates the square now? You can't fight against the state. It's like a gnat trying to fight an elephant. And I would have to question why you would be encouraging people to do this, because they're just going to end up getting arrested, basically, and he's just going to make life worse for us. He says, last weekend, the police were so weak they retreated up Whitehall like gormless cowards. This weekend, they had full riot equipment and took an aggressive stance from the outset. Yes, the police were looking to crack heads on Saturday, and he was encouraging people to go there and get their heads cracked. And for what reason? Apparently they were there to protect the statues. Well, Khan put metal boxes all around those statues a good 3 or 4 days before the protest. And he said the reason for that wasn't to protect the statues. It was so that the so-called far-right groups couldn't say that they were there to protect the statues. But effectively, the object of the protest had been succeeded. It had succeeded. The statues had been protected. Paul should have been encouraging people not to go, so that we could have seen more riots from Black Lives Matter and Antifa. And, you know, eventually Black Lives Matter would have ended up attacking Antifa because they would have looked at them and seen that they were white people. And the police would have been very confused because they would have seen all this violence and destruction going on, and they've been told they shouldn't be arresting them. And that is the situation that we want. We want to wake people up. We don't want it turned around so that the nationalists are the bad guys once again. How is this a success? You got the police to turn up in full riot gear, ready to have a fight with civic nationalists. That's not a success. That is bad, very, very bad optics. And the reason I think why he's doing this is because he wants to promote himself. He says a short interview that Paul gave in Parliament Square was uploaded to Twitter and has been seen over 750,000 times. So Paul managed to get his face up there on Twitter, maybe a picture in the Daily Mail. And some man had his throat slashed. Somebody else had a bottle smashed over their head. That doesn't seem to matter to Paul that his patriot friends are getting a serious beating here, and the narrative is completely changed. All that matters is that he gets a trending hashtag. Today, despite the numerous confrontations with the police, we hit a turning point in the history of our movement. Really? Really, that was a turning point in the history of the nationalist movement? Well, I mean, it may be if they, now that the government have banned all protests of any more than 6 people. He says, for the first time ever, the police bullies and the government were made to look like weak fools by the combined power of patriots and veterans. Well, no, they were made to look weak fools the week before by Black Lives Matter. And that is what was concerning to Middle England. But now that's no longer a concern to Middle England. They're more worried about these hooligans that were attacking the police. on the Saturday. He says, this will be causing the powers that be a massive headache tonight in the corridors of Whitehall. Well, I don't think so. I think they're clapping their hands together with glee that instead of it being Antifa and Black Lives Matter, it being nationalists that they can blame for the trouble once again. Straight away, we had Sadiq Khan saying that the violence was being caused by the far right within an hour of the protest starting. Exactly the same as happened in Charlottesville. It was exactly the same as Charlottesville. It was a big setup. And Khan was saying that they had intelligence that the far right were going to try and attack Nelson Mandela. Well, I wonder where he got that intelligence from. Well, let's have a little look at some of the things that Paul sends out. Britain First demands that the statue of Nelson Mandela be torn down forthwith in order that any memory of this violent communist and terrorist be consigned to the dustbin of history. And of course, I agree, he was a violent communist and a terrorist, but demanding that the statue be torn down and sending that out to all your followers is incitement to do that. And this is where the police are saying they got this intelligence from. And obviously, Paul was hoping that would be part of a petition that was sent out, but it's still encouraging the same destruction that Antifa and Black Lives Matter are doing. We don't need to be behaving like them. The whole country was furious to see what was going on and to see the police stood down. But the sensible thing to have done would have been to wait and just allow them to keep going. And that would have just created more and more support for us rather than calling for people to go there and have a fight with Black Lives Matter. We know that the police are biased against white people. We know they are biased against nationalists. As soon as there is trouble at any nationalist demonstration, it's all the nationalists that get arrested and charged. We still have lots of people in prison from the Paul protest a good 3 years back now, 4 years back now, and they're still in prison from defending themselves. So Paul should really have known better than to be encouraging people to go and have a fight, basically, with Black Lives Matter. I mean, is he trying to run a nationalist organisation, or is he trying to get together a street gang? He says, next Saturday, patriots have called for a unity demonstration to protect our sacred war memorials in London from left-wing vandalism. Thousands of patriots are going to descend on London to protect the cenotaph and Churchill statue. Enough is enough. The vandalism of our war memorials must stop immediately. If the police won't stop it, then I'm sure that thousands of patriots would love to protect them. I mean, it's very thinly veiled incitement to just go there and have a fight with Black Lives Matter. And I don't know the numbers of people that have been arrested after that demonstration. I think they said something like 50, 60 people had been arrested. And we know, as I say, from the weekend before, that any of the blacks and Antifa that were arrested, they'll just be let go. And the nationalists will be sent to prison. But I guess it's okay because Paul managed to get his picture in the paper. Now, this, as I say, I really don't like doing this, but this is something that's been going on for quite some time now. And I was hoping that I was going to be able to support Britain First. Paul came out from prison and I saw him give a very good speech against the replacement of our people. And I bought his biography. But rather than thinking this is somebody that I can support, there were quite a lot of suspicious things in it. He talks about where he learned about history from, and he recommends people watch the Sky History Channel. If you want to know the truth about history, you should be looking at things like communism through the back door, the Masonic victory of World War II, the greatest story never told, Europa, the last battle, all these fantastic alternative media documentaries that there are out there. The last thing you need to be watching is Sky and the History Channel. So I was a little bit suspicious at that. And then you read in there that he knew that the party needed to be registered because they were a registered political party. They needed to be registered with the general register. And obviously that is a very, very important thing, because if you don't get the party registered, you're no longer a political party and you no longer have the protections that being a political party will give you. And yet somehow he managed to forget to re-register the party. He got it there too late. So he lost the registry of Britain First as a political party. So he doesn't have those protections. And then you read that he was on bail. He was on bail for something. And if you're on bail, you're not supposed to leave the country. And that would have been made very, very clear to him. So he decided to just leave the country. He sent a letter to the police saying he was going on holiday or something. And then surprise, surprise, he becomes a wanted man, and he ends up trying to get more money out of his followers to pay for his solicitor's fees. And I mean, these are all just very, very silly things that are easily avoidable, but they're not really the sort of things you want somebody who is leading your political party to be doing. So I had these little suspicions about it since then, and then I've been watching him since then, and I've seen him basically trying to antagonize the police as much as he can. He will antagonize the police. I've seen videos of members of Britain First that have been arrested by the police, and instead of doing his best not to antagonize them so that the member of Britain First doesn't get the book thrown at him, Paul will be there calling them busybodies, Jobsworths, and all these names, basically. He tries to antagonize the police. And you think, is that a successful strategy to have, antagonize the security forces of the country that you supposedly standing for? We want the police on side. At the very least, we don't want them to be antagonized against us. At the very least, we don't want to make ourselves an enemy to them. We don't want to make a rod for our own backs. But he seems to do that. Maybe he does that because people will watch the videos then, because a lot of people are angry at the police, and maybe he becomes a voice of their anger by being like that. But it certainly isn't going to help any of his followers out if they get arrested and he's there insulting the police. So we can move on a little bit from there, and then we get to the incident at the airport. And I was absolutely shocked at this, absolutely shocked and stunned that somebody who has been involved in nationalism for 20 years could claim they didn't know about that law at the airport. Now, I was told about that law at the airport, that effectively, because airports are international areas, they are under different laws to the rest of the country. I mean, this is why you get duty-free at airports. And one of the things that happens when you have a part of the country that is not under the same jurisdiction as the rest of the country is that you can be arrested and you can be asked to answer questions. You can be asked to hand a password over, and you don't actually have a right to silence. And this is part of the anti-terrorism laws. And they don't have to have a suspicion that you're a terrorist. They can just pull anybody over and demand that they give their password and they answer questions. And if you don't answer the questions, it's a summary jail sentence. You automatically get a 6-week jail sentence or whatever it is. Now, I was told this years back, four or five years back, I was told this. And I can remember thinking at the time, well, I wouldn't be so silly as to bring my computer and all my details. And I wouldn't be so silly as to take anything abroad with me that it might be a risk if you lose it, whether it might be stolen or whatever, or if the police get hold of it, because they might want to keep a hold of it, and you're going to need it. So it's particularly daft to be bringing important information with you through an airport. And then we've got Paul, who is going to Moscow to talk to nationalists over there, knowing that Moscow is not in Britain's best books at the moment. Knowing that he's got a name for activities, he's got a criminal record. Britain First, there's been accusations that they should be classed as terrorists. All sorts of things should have said to him he should not be taking sensitive information with him to Moscow through the airport. I mean, even if he didn't know about this terrorist legislation, which I find it very, very hard to believe, because there are lots of people that have been pulled over under this. Max Musson, he had a friend that's been pulled over. Peter Rushton, he's been given a pull at the airport, and they took all his stuff. And basically, what you do is if you have to go through an airport, you don't take sensitive information with you. You take a burner phone with a pay-as-you-go SIM card on it, or you don't take your computer. If you're going to another country and you're going to need stuff that's online, then you just upload it to your email and use somebody else's computer and print it out when you get to that country. There are all sorts of ways that you can make it certain that you're safe to go through the airport. And when you do that, and if the police do pull you over under the terrorist legislation, then you can show them that you're not a terrorist. I mean, that's what it's about. Basically, the police give you a pull. Whether it's right or wrong that they have that power, they do have that power. And all nationalists should know about it. As I say, I find it very suspicious that he doesn't know about it. And he led his team members through the airport without having told them about this. And he gets his phone taken, he gets arrested under this, and they tell him that he has to give them his password under this law. So he would have been told that if you don't give us this password, you will get a summary sentence for this. So he decides that he's not going to give them the password, which means he's automatically going to get a jail sentence. Why wouldn't he give them his password? If he didn't have sensitive information with him, he could have given them a password. They could have gone through a burner phone. They could have said, well, that clears it. You're not a terrorist at all, Mr. Golding. You're free to go. And I think if he got that happened to him again a second time, they certainly wouldn't be doing it a third time, because that would be police harassment, wouldn't it? But surely the safest thing to do is to be able to go along with what the police are asking you and show them that you're not a terrorist. Of course he's not a terrorist. The police don't know that, though. The police are told by their politically appointed seniors that he's been accused of this in the Houses of Parliament. There's been some calls by MPs that Britain First should be made into a terrorist group, and they see he's just coming back from Moscow. I mean, it's obvious that they would, if they're ever going to give him a pull, that would be when they are going to give him a pull. And if he'd been sensible, as I say, he could have said, here's all my equipment, officer. I don't agree with this law. It's an infringement on free speech, but it is the law. Here's my password. And he would have been quite safe, and the police wouldn't have seen any sensitive information, because anybody sensible would not have carried sensitive information through the airport on their way to Moscow and back. So anyway, he did this, and I was very confused about this, and I thought, what is going on here? Why didn't he give them his password? Don't tell me he did actually bring sensitive information with him, but he's going to end up going to jail for 6 weeks. Again, isn't he on a suspended sentence? Very, very strange. Like he deliberately did this. And then he makes a big thing about it, that he's being accused of being a terrorist, and he's asking for £5,000 from his followers. And I'm thinking, what is that money for? How can you fight against this? Either you gave them your password or you didn't. You are either guilty or not guilty of handing your password over. It's an open and shut case. It's a summary offence if you don't answer their questions. You don't have the right to silence in that situation. As I say, whether that's right or wrong, that's not the case here. But that is the actual law. So did he break the law? Yes, he did break the law. He hasn't got a leg to stand on to defend himself against it. And yet he's asking for money from his supporters, begging for money from his supporters for a case that it is impossible to win. And yet somehow when he does go to court, he doesn't actually get sent to jail. Very, very strange. And then you can look at what happened just before he actually went into court. And this is in the middle of the lockdown, and he's trying to encourage people to break the lockdown and turn up at the court and protest. And this is at a time when we weren't supposed to be having any social contact whatsoever. And he's actually writing to the police, informing the police of his criminal plan to hold a gathering outside the court on a certain date. So, of course, the police are just looking at that, thinking, what? So you're informing us of your criminal intentions, Mr. Golding? Of course, then a day before he's actually supposed to be in court, they write to him and say, well, if anybody turns up, we're going to arrest them under the Lockdown Orders Act. And I'm just thinking, does this man have any sense at all? Was he just trying to get his people to go there and get arrested? And what about the publicity that would happen from that? Does he care about his followers at all? I mean, who does the man care about? It seems to me that he just cares about publicity and promoting himself and really doesn't care about his followers. I mean, when you sign up to Britain First, you get emails just about every day begging for money. And this case really, really irked me because he had deliberately got himself into trouble with the police and was then asking for money to get himself out of trouble and trying to portray it as some kind of freedom of speech thing when it wasn't freedom of speech. It was either stupidity in not actually knowing the law in airports, which I find very, very hard to believe, or it was deliberately done to try and get some publicity. And once again, you've got the word terrorism that's been linked up with nationalism. And now we've got this catastrophe that happened at the weekend. Lots of patriots beaten up, severely beaten up, and we've got Paul thinking it's a great triumph because he got mentioned 750,000 times on Twitter. And that doesn't advance the cause of nationalism in any way whatsoever. The statues had already been protected. We've now got bans on protests, and we had people nearly killed. We had white people nearly killed. And this is not a good look for nationalism. Seeing people trying to fight with the police, squaring up to the police and trying to fight with the police is not going to encourage people to support us, is it? I mean, maybe the guy is genuine, but he just doesn't think very much. But looking through all these mistakes, I really have to question his integrity, his common sense. I mean, from all the way from skipping bail to not re-registering the political party to deliberately going through an airport with something that he wouldn't have wanted the police to have, or maybe he just deliberately thought he would get some publicity by refusing to hand his password over, to now leading nationalists into the most obvious trap that I have seen since Charlottesville. This was an obvious trap that was being set up to change the narrative and get people angry at nationalists and make them into the enemy instead of the enemy being Black Lives Matter. Just incredible. And I feel sorry for the people that are following him and that believe in him, because a man that will lead his followers into an obvious trap like that, where there's a high likelihood that they're going to get a severe beating while he goes in there with six security guards around him. I can't really see why people would want to follow somebody like that. There was no need for that protest at all at the weekend, and all it did was do us damage. As hey, Tommy, people have pointed out the fact that he supports Israel more than he supports Britain, but he's honest about that at least. And at least he didn't go to this protest. He stood down. And Paul must have known. He's been involved in nationalism for 20 years. He must have known what was going to happen. But instead of standing down, he thought he would go because it would get him more publicity, regardless of the risk that put all the people that he encouraged to go there, the risk that they all took. Now, if people want to get involved in a movement that is not going to put your lives at risk, that is going to put your interests above the interests of everybody else, then you want to get involved with Patriotic Alternative, and you want to look at what Mark Cullett is doing. As I said, I really did not want to be making this podcast, but so many times now I have seen Paul basically take his followers for granted and just use them as a cash cow and just try to promote himself and publicize himself any way he can. I mean, even look at what he was wearing on the Saturday, a White Lives Matter t-shirt. I mean, White Lives Matter, we've been talking about since the beginning of Black Lives Matter. And it's just him trying to piggyback on White Lives Matter and try to push Britain First. And what do Britain First stand for? I was watching a speech that Paul gave a while back, and he was talking about where he sees the movement in 20 years' time, doing exactly the same thing. He'll be there on the streets with 20 people listening to him with a megaphone and charging into mosques and trying to start fights. And if you want violence, if you want to be involved in fights, if you want to be involved in absolutely pointless wastes of energy, money, a total waste of time, like the protest on Saturday, then you want to be following Britain First. Up until this point, when it was just that his followers were being fleeced and they were being asked for money for just court cases that should never have happened, that were caused by his own arrogance, basically, when it was just that, it just annoyed me, because I could see that there were decent patriots that were losing their money, that were being cleaned out of their money, sending it to him. But after the weekend, seeing those pictures of patriotic white people having their heads stamped on, having bottles smashed over their heads, having a knife slashed across their throat, I mean, that is just too much for me. I mean, I see those pictures and I could weep at the stupidity of it all. And it just infuriates me that he would put the lives of other white patriots at risk like that, just so that he could gain some publicity for himself. And what did he do with the publicity? And he just got a mention that he was there in the Daily Mail, I think. And here he is talking about what a great triumph it was because they took over Parliament Square for a few hours. We don't want to be taking over Parliament Square. We want to be taking over the state. And the way to do that is to get support from the rest of the nation. And you're not going to get support from the rest of the nation by looking to them like you're the nationalist equivalent of the Hell's Angels going in for a fight with the police. Absolutely ridiculous. And I don't mean this as any attack on the supporters of Britain First, because I think they're just misled. I think, you know, maybe they haven't noticed these things that I have. And it's really them that I am thinking of here. Because if Britain First continues to go in the direction that it's now going in, you're just going to end up with more white people in prison. You're going to end up with more white people beaten up. Probably going to end up with another nationalist organization designated as terrorists, and we're just going to have more censorship for all of us. Paul is really not putting the interests of his people above the interests of himself and self-promotion, I think. And I don't like to judge people. And maybe there are innocent explanations for some of the things that I've brought up here. But they definitely need to be said, I think, because they are concerning, very concerning. The last thing I want to see is more young nationalists being led astray, ending up in prison, or ending up completely disillusioned because they've spent all their money on court fees for somebody who deliberately antagonizes the police and deliberately tries to get himself in court, tries to get himself arrested. And why would you do that? I mean, isn't that a bit of a risk, trying to get yourself arrested just so that you can ask for money from your followers and get publicity in the newspapers? There's a lot about this that doesn't make a lot of sense. Maybe Paul acts first and thinks later. Maybe that's at the root of it. Unfortunately, I can't really see that Britain First are redeemable after what they did at the weekend, after encouraging that. I mean, if I thought that, if I could see that there was some hope there, and that really was putting our people first, but just who just wasn't aware of the truths that we are aware of, being ethno-nationalists, then I wouldn't be saying this. But the fact is, he's put lots of people at risk. There's been serious violence. There's been people that are going to be charged, that are going to go to prison. And the whole narrative has been changed around from being against Black Lives Matter to being against nationalists. And now we have another law coming in to prevent protests. And somebody has to point this out. And unfortunately, it's fallen to me. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.